how many more times am I going to put my life in the hands of someone else? And that's a question that you should ask yourself every single day if you're not an entrepreneur. I decided that, you know what, I'm going to make a change. The first thing to do is, of course, get the mindset right.
Welcome to the Consistent and Predictable Income Community Podcast. The CPI methodology is the only system that teaches the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks.
Agostino Pintus is a multifamily investor, syndicator, and entrepreneur with more than 15 years of real estate experience. He currently oversees strategic partnerships, capital development, and platform development for Realty Dynamics Equity Partners, an investment firm specializing in multifamily acquisition and asset management services. In this episode, Agostino will be sharing how he got $100 million worth of deals in just 3 years by having a mindset built for success.
My name is Dan Roshan. I'm the host of the CPI Podcast, which is the real estate show designed to help top producing agents leverage and scale your business, allowing you to earn more money in less time, for seasoned agents to help you get to the next level of stable income, and for new agents to help you find the right way to freedom and money, so that each of you can reach your potential as a person and as a real estate agent, which means you'll have certainty in your future. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show.
Hello, Facebook Live. I am joined with Agostino Pintus. And today we're going to talk about the mindset to build success. And Agostino is a successful entrepreneur who has gotten more than $100 million of real estate deals done in 3 years. That's $100 million. That's a big number. Welcome, Agostino. How are you?
Man, I'm awesome. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. So you're a multifamily investor. You are a syndicator, an entrepreneur. I know that you do some development and have some strategic partnerships. What else do we need to know about you?
Well, triple net leases as well is another thing that I do from that perspective. But I'll tell you, it wasn't always like this. And it took a lot of effort, a lot of mindset changes to get to where I'm at today. I look back and I consider a lot of time wasted doing things that probably should not have been doing. But now it's a whole different way of living. You know, now okay. I get to live life on my own terms. And that's probably the best thing that makes me happy now. So it's just awesome. It's just awesome.
So you were in the corporate world before real estate. Okay. So how long were you in the corporate world and what did you do there?
So my background is all technology, IT, right? Since I was a kid, since I was like, I don't know, 9 years old, even before that, as soon as I laid eyes on a computer, I think it was in grade 5, and I saw when they first rolled in this old-fashioned Commodore computer, which many of your people in the audience don't even know what that is. As soon as I laid eyes on that thing, I thought technology was going to be it for me. That's what I was going to be doing. I devoted my whole life to technology. I started writing code when I was 10 years old. I was one of those kids. I just immersed myself in technology and became as great as I could at tech and IT. And I wanted to build a whole career around it. That's exactly what I did. You know, I wanted to have my own software company. But my parents, being immigrants from Italy, right? You know, all they knew how to do was work. That's it. Work the 40-hour job. That's what they were told. And that's what they were subscribed to. And they told me, entrepreneurship is not for you. You need to go get a job. That's what you need to do too, right? So that's why I just went to school, did my undergrad engineering technology, and then did two master's degrees and did all that fun stuff only to go to work for these companies. And I think part of it is that I had success doing the whole corporate America thing. One thing that I did not do right looking back is that I did not guide my career properly. I ended up working for a lot of crappy companies. And when you're working, you kind of like, you can't really say that. You can't poo-poo on other people's on companies, especially when you're interviewing, which I did a lot of because I've been fired from about 12 jobs.
You're unemployable. I'm unemployable as well. We're good. We're in the same group together.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, I think that I built quite a bit of success after getting like up and down, getting fired and go get another job again. I'd spend months like I used to send out 100 resumes a day, 100 resumes a day. Chances are someone in your audience has one of my resumes sitting in their inbox. I'll tell you, man, but that's how I used to live my life between jobs, because I was between jobs all the time. I just was not good at working for people, but I kept on doing it anyway. And I got lucky about 14 years ago, I started up at this seemingly great company in Virginia, and I did wonders for this company. I helped put them on the map, as a matter of fact, publicly traded company. But that fear always existed in my mind. Like, okay, what if I get fired from this company now? And I was always worried about getting fired, which is, I don't know how people do it. Like nowadays, I don't know how they do it, but I was always living in fear. So I started getting into real estate back then, right? So I would start with the single family, the small multifamily, buying them, renting them out, that kind of thing, right?
Were you still in Virginia at the time?
Yeah, I was working at this company. I ended up becoming a CIO, a chief information, or CTO technically, chief technology officer, making decent money. So I started plowing money into like single families, small multifamily, you know, stuff like that. And yeah, I was working at this company while doing that at the same time with the intent of trying to buy enough houses to help offset my income in the event that I got fired. Can you imagine going through life living like that? Like, what if I get fired tomorrow? Oh my God. It's like, even a guy like the time I was a C-level executive working at this company, I'd done wonders for them. And I was always worried about losing my job. Always, always, you know, because of all the jobs I've been through prior to that. And then of course, one day it happens, you know, the guy comes in, he hands me the box, pack up your crap, you're done, get out. Here we are, 4 years gone, right? Spent almost 4 years there helping them become one of the biggest companies in their field. And, you know, I was shattered, man. I mean, I devoted my life. I spent, God, ungodly number of hours, 60-hour weeks, 70-hour weeks there. You know, me built up the team. They did the same thing I did. I mean, it was nuts. And you really have to watch out what you do to yourself, because I really hung my whole identity as the C-level technology guy at this company is what I did. Okay. Shame on me for allowing that to happen. So I did that, and I ended up going through what I call the 10 dark years. You know, I was just floating from job to job to job. That's
it. This was after that? After that?
Yeah.
14 years ago, you leave your C-level CTO job that you helped that company get on the map, and then you went 10 years from then floating through the corporate ladder at that point. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, pretty much.
I recently wrote the book, Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. I wrote this book because I have sold real estate since 2007 and developed an immense amount of experience and knowledge. During my journey, I've witnessed hundreds and maybe even thousands of real estate agents fail in this business. And I firmly believe that that's a shame. In Real Estate Evolution, I will show you the exact steps that I have used as a real estate salesperson to sell 1 to 15 homes every single month for the past 129 consecutive months. It took me more than 2 decades to learn the sales and persuasion techniques, and more than 1 decade to master the real estate sales techniques to be able to produce the content that makes up this book. And it took me more than a year to write at a pace of 3 hours every single day. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income in your business, I invite you to get the book, Real Estate Evolution. And you can get that by visiting www.therealestateevolution.com. I'll even give it to you for free as long as you pay for the postage.
So, and it was like going from job to job to job. I had no focus, no why, just try to get whatever I could, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and it's a terrible way. Again, shame on me for running my life the way I did, but just taking everything as opposed to being purposeful with my life. But I think at the same time, too, when you're trying to take down a C-level executive job, those jobs are not only few and far in between, you're also competing with some very bright people.
Sure.
You know, those C-level guys, they're no slouches. They're usually pretty good. They're usually pretty good, you know, and you're competing against those folks, right? And I think when I was ended up getting a job in Indianapolis, working for a great guy who was living in New York at the time. He was a New Yorker. I was a New Yorker. He asked me to come out to Indianapolis and help him get this company under control, which I did. Fixed it up. Fixed up the IT group. Only what happens, he quits. And then I get fired again because a new guy comes in, doesn't like me. Great. So here we are, you know, 4 years ago, I was just under I'd say, yeah, 4 years ago, something like that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm thinking to myself, how many more times can I possibly go through this? How many more times is going to be enough before I decide that this isn't my life? I mean, how many more times am I going to put my life in the hands of someone else? And that's a question that you should ask yourself every single day if you're not an entrepreneur, right? I'm not saying everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. Maybe they don't want to be, but that's where I was. And then I decided that, you know what, I'm going to make a change. And I still had some of these single families left, had a handful left, and started selling them all off. I'm going to do something with real estate. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to get some cash. You know, so I started liquidating everything.
Where were your properties?
At that time, Michigan and Virginia. Michigan okay. and Virginia. Because I used to live in Michigan. I used to live in Virginia, right?
Okay.
But that one day, that one fateful day, I was sitting outside of a Starbucks and I happened to be talking to a new contact that I made, just doing some networking. He was a real estate attorney. And I asked him this question. I said, who owns these properties? And I was pointing to I think it was like a 30 unit apartment building, right? Go, who owns that? And he says, what do you mean? People own that. I go, what people? You mean banks? What? He goes, no, people, they syndicate it. I'm like, syndicate? What's that? So he explains to me what syndication is. Explains to me about raising money and using it as equity, and then you pay back your investors and all this fun stuff. And I'm like, I could do that. So that's what I did.
You started raising money? You started raising capital at that point?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Because one thing that I knew in that brief conversation was that I was lacking the knowledge. And up until that point, you know, I started to listen to books, but I wasn't really like as focused as I am now about reading books and enriching my mind. I knew that there was a gap that I had. And the gap that many people get this wrong, by the way, right? I'm sure there's going to be people listening right now. This is where the gap is. It isn't like I'm going to do syndication is the answer. I'm going to start making my first phone calls now. That's the absolutely wrong thing to do, because there's a gap of knowledge that you have to cover in your own mind. The first thing to do is, of course, get the mindset right. Because without the goals, like, you have to define your goals as to what you want to see happen. Because without having that set up first as the groundwork for everything that comes above it, nothing happens, right? And that's what I got to work doing, is establishing, okay, what's my life going to be like? I'm going to do it with real estate. I knew that. I said, fine, I'm going to syndicate deals. I'm going to do it with real estate. How soon am I going to do this, and when's it going to happen?
So you had to establish your vision first. Where am I going to go?
Exactly. Where am I going to go? But to even go deeper than that, I even defined, what does the future look like, right? So let's say 10 years from now, where am I living? What am I wearing? What car am I driving? When I wake up in the morning and I look outside the window, what do I expect to see? And not only do you write that down, you're almost like internalizing it in your own mind. It's almost like you're playing a video. It's like you're reciting a memory in your mind of what is actually happening. And I go through this all the time. I picture myself waking up. I pull the covers out like this. I stand up. I go over to the window. I look outside and I see a beach. I don't see a single soul on that beach because I want a private beach. You see? What a private beach. And I see the water, the clear blue water. I see that. And I walk over to the desk. I go look at my reports for the day. All right, I see what's going on that day. And I look to see the reports of how much money each property is earning. And I go downstairs, I make my espresso, and I sit there in the kitchen and watch the water for a while and read my books. I picture all this as if it's already happened, right? That I found is the key aspect to seeing really things really happen in your future. There's a thing called the reticular activating system. Okay. Have you ever wanted a car? And as soon as you started looking at this car online or whatever, then you step outside, you start seeing the car everywhere.
Of course. Of course.
That's a reticular activating system. Everyone has this system built in, right? Your subconscious starts looking for it. Right. That's what I started doing. I started looking for the opportunity. But the same thing happens when you start thinking about your future and what your future is going to look like. Right. Your reticular activating system does the same thing.
So you visualize with granular, with clarity, with being specific, all the way to probably what the espresso maker was and the pods that you're making the espresso from. And then you put your reticular activating system into action to be able to be aware of the opportunities that were going to get you to where you were going.
Exactly. And then what I also do is I also write out in point form format, right? what is going on with, like, say, my income, right? So I make $200,000 a month. I have, my Cybertruck is outside waiting for me to go for a ride, which I ordered, by the way, right? So all these things are defined, right? And as soon as you define them and you write them out every single day, your reticular activating system also makes these things start happening as well. And what it also does, I find, at least for me anyway, is it charges me up. It gets me excited about what's going on. You know, and one thing I also do is when we do have a bad day, or I have a bad day on something, or I don't get a deal that I was expecting to get, or there's some sort of something goes sideways that day, I write out those goals anyway, because it reminds me as to where I'm going, right? To write out the goals and think about the goals as a first thing to do every single day sets you up for success the rest of the day.
How much time do you spend doing that?
It doesn't take much, man. That's the thing. 10, 15 minutes. That's it. You know, and I get up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym every day, right? So okay. I go to the gym, I come home, I make my coffee, I sit down and I'll write that out. And then I'll listen to my books while I'm eating my eggs and toast. You know, that's it, right? I mean, it's that kind of stuff is fundamental to building success. If you don't have that stuff down, it's going to be extremely difficult to figure out where you want to go. Extremely difficult. You know, I host an event for the Real Estate Association, and there's some lady that says she wants to be uber rich or whatever, and she's getting into wholesaling. Now, no offense to wholesalers, but you know, wholesalers is just like their very beginning. She doesn't understand, like, what happens after wholesaling? Then what are you going to do then? She goes, oh, I don't know. I'm like, you don't know. Well, you probably should have an idea. You know, it's like saying that you want to go to Florida, but you didn't have no idea where the highway is, nor do you even have a car to get there or a GPS to even drive there. You know, it's like, how do you not define this? You have to have a plan, right? And that's my point, is that the only way to figure out where you want to go is figure out where you want to be in the future and then pull it all the way back to today. What is the action required to get to where you want to go? And I wrote down, I have a vision board, and I put 1,000 units on that vision board, 1,000 units. And I put down pictures of like, say, the healthy movie stars that I love to follow and buildings. And I had my Tesla logos before the Cybertruck even existed. I had all these different things on a vision board. And we're already beyond 1,000 units at this point. I'm doing development, of course. I'm doing triple net leases now. I'm doing all these different things. And it's all because I committed to that vision. And even now, it's like, I know that we're going to eventually get a home in Colombia. I want to get a villa in the mountains. I see it every day, you know, going to get a place out there. And besides the house I described earlier, you know, it's...
So 1,000 units in how long of a period of time?
It's about 3 years, probably a little less, yeah. Yeah.
So that's like a unit a day.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I guess I never broke it down that way. I guess it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I never broke it down that way, but yeah, that's right. That's right. Jeez, that's a lot.
Well, that is a lot. So tell us, how did you do that?
So once I committed to the vision, once I defined what my goals were and started getting into the right mindset and started exposing myself to the material, right? In terms of the language of real estate, you know, learning how to talk to people, learning how to sell, learning how to put a deal together, you know, all these different things. I mean, I had to learn about how to do all that. And back then, either I didn't know about mentoring or anything else like that, like, or wasn't readily available, or I just had no idea that it was even a thing, you know. But I just started exposing myself to as much material as I could find, either online or ebooks, or I mean, I started listening to ebooks, you know, Carlton Sheets. Remember Carlton Sheets?
Sure. Those were the cassette tapes then.
the cassette tapes. I went through I actually had it on MP3. It was like someone put it on MP3 and I listened to the whole thing. Nothing to do with multifamily per se, but there's actually tricks that I've used in that material that I listened to 4 years ago that went into a deal that I just did recently for 200 units right there. Unbelievable, right? Who would have thought that, right? But I trained like crazy. I trained like my life depended on it because, well, in fact, it did. I made my girlfriend at the time a promise that whatever job I end up taking next will be the last one. I will never work for anybody ever again. I drew a line in the sand. I'm not doing it. This is it. I'm not doing it again. And it's kind of like that type of commitment that was required up front, before you start talking to people, before you start doing anything, you need to commit to what you want to do. 100% all in, like there's no plan B, nothing. This is how it's going to be. And damn it, that's how it has to be. And that's the thing. It takes guts to do that kind of stuff. And, you know, early on when I was unhappy and I was always worried and I was like working for these crappy companies and I'd be like, I was upset, but that paycheck was like, it's almost like a drug. It's a drug that erases the dreams from your mind. That's what it does. And they give you this drug every 2 weeks. It's a new drug.
They keep you attached to it. They keep you coming back.
It's enough to keep you to erase whatever dreams you might have. That's what a salary is, you know.
What was the tactic that you used in that 200 unit deal that you did that you learned from Carlton Sheets?
Basically, a wraparound mortgage is what it is. You know, that's the strategy we ended up using. So there's a deal that is, now they're getting into too much details. I'm sure they don't want, I don't know who wants to hear about it, but it was a cross collateralized deal. So these are big deals, right? It's cross collateralized another deal, and the lender, or rather the seller, who's also a lender, the seller can't break them up without paying a big fee to break up the deal, right? So we basically do what's called a wraparound mortgage, where they're carrying the note, right? They carry the note, we make the payments to them, and it's our deal, basically. And then at some point in the future, when the defeasance fee goes down to, like, say, I think after 3 years, it goes down to a 1%, then you're able to, the defeasance fee is only 1%, fine, but you pay the 1%. It's better than paying, I think, 5% today, sure, you know, versus 1% in the future. And then you do the deal at that point, right? But you're basically paying the note, you're paying the mortgage the entire time, you know, so wraparound mortgage, which is similar to like a subject to, sort of. That's what Carlton Sheets calls it, you know? So same concept, man. Same concept. Doesn't matter whether it's a single family home or if it's a 200 unit apartment complex. Same thing, man. It's the same scenario. Yeah, it's the numbers are a little bit bigger. Yeah, you have to get you better get some good attorneys to help you put this stuff together. There's a little more at stake, but the concept is the same.
You already know 87% of all real estate agents fail in this business. And you also know doesn't have to be that way. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income, I invite for you to get your free copy of Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. And you can do so when you visit www.therealestateevolution.com. I'll share with you your book that I authored to show you the way, and it's free. You just have to pay for the shipping. Thanks.
What's the biggest challenge that you've had in business?
When I was getting started, I wanted to buy my first deal on my own, right? And now maybe it's a good thing that I did. I bought a little 11 unit property. It's funny because I stole this deal. It was such a freaking amazing deal. I found it on the MLS of all places. And where it should not have been. 11 unit properties usually found either direct to brokers or on LoopNet or whatever, but I found it on the MLS and I just happened to be looking and I found it. So no one else was looking for it because nobody else would have even looked on the MLS to find a deal. And I found it and bought it. And in my mind, before I can ask people to invest with me, I felt that I had to have deals of my own. Okay. And that's what I did. You know, so I went ahead and bought my own deals. You know, I bought my own multifamily and I fixed it up and it was very, very profitable and did very well with it. It's kind of like I'm able to demonstrate that, look, I put my own money in the line here. I know what I'm doing. I did my own deal on my own and here it is. Let me tell you about it. You know, that kind of thing. Do you have to do it that way? You don't have to. I mean, if you're able to partner up with people, which I couldn't do at the time because I didn't know anybody. You know, I didn't know, like I was brand new to Cleveland because I decided that Cleveland was going to be the place for me. So we packed up our car and drove here with everything we owned was in the car. That's it. All of it was in the car.
Two cats and three dogs in there also, or?
No.
Just come on.
Just my girlfriend. That's all there was, right? It's like, yeah, it's crazy, man. It was crazy. And it started from literally, I had some money from all the properties that I sold. And that's how I started off, man. I mean, that's it. It took a lot of hard work, you know, to get the first deal. And then I started networking with folks and partnering up with people. And because I knew what I was talking about, because I can say, look, I have this one deal already. I already bought it. And let me tell you about the NOI. Let me tell you what we did. Here's the CapEx. I'm using the language of the deal and what I did to it in the language of real estate. And as I'm talking to other investors, and they're like, you know, this guy knows who he's talking about. And then when I did find a deal, I call them up and say, hey, listen, I got a deal here. You want to jump in on this? And they're like, absolutely. Let's jump in on it. Let's roll, you know, and that's it. And I sold myself. And I sold them on the deal and we get on a deal and we all made money. That's about it. I mean, there's challenges every day. I mean, I'd say, you know, to answer your question, I mean, the challenge, I think you asked me about the challenges, right? What was the challenge that I faced? So yeah. So the one challenge was thinking that I had to do it all by myself, and it's not true. This is a team sport. I did face a challenge on Rockefeller where during all this COVID stuff, things got really, really scary, like real scary with all that, because now you're talking a $13 million deal that has that's going to be worth $115 million when it's completed. All right. When it's done, my partners and I are going to invest $115 million into this one asset. When it's done, that's not even the value of the asset, because as you know, the value of the asset is determined by NOI. This is before it's actually generating NOI. $115 million going into this one asset that's right outside my window here. And during all this COVID stuff, all the lenders, as you probably remember, they all bolted, they all left, all gone, right? Lenders that said they were going to be there, gone. So we're like, oh man, what are we going to do now? Like, we've got to scramble, right? At this point, we still had like a week left of due diligence. We've already spent $1 million in soft costs, just in attorney fees and CPA fees and all these other fees that we spent money on and all these different studies and all this other stuff. We spent $1 million on all that stuff. And we haven't even closed a deal yet. And now we had about close to $300K in earnest money that was going to go hard. In a handful of days, and the lender pulled out.
Oh, that's frightening.
Yeah, that's a challenge, right?
Yeah.
And then, but you know, we were talking to another lender at the time, and we didn't know for sure that they were going to do the deal. Like, it isn't like they sent over like an LOI and they did all that. Everything said they were going to do the deal, but back then, I mean, I'll tell you, no one was lending on anything. This is the height of all this COVID stuff in the summertime. So it would have been June, July, in that time frame, right? Our due diligence was just about up. So it's like, oh, man, what are we going to do? Like, we're going to lose, not only are we going to lose our earnest money for $300,000, we're also
soft costs.
So Kenny and I, my partner and I, we're going to owe all these people all this money. And we also get to lose our earnest money that we've already dumped into it, right? So what I did was I called up the attorney. I said, all right, listen, here's what we're going to do. You tell the other side that we're going to go ahead and we're going to release the $300,000 today. And we'll put another $250,000 in if they give us until the end of September to close this thing. And we're going to increase the price by $100,000. Are they going to take that deal?
Did they?
They're going to take it. And am I going to get that deal closed? You better damn well believe I'm going to get that deal closed one way or another, you know? And we did. We got it done, man. We got it closed. You know, we got it done. We got that deal closed. It was scary, man. You know, it takes courage to make money. It takes courage to make money.
Also creativity, also perseverance, also the ability to say, okay, to recognize a tough challenge. And instead of saying, hey, that's it, you say, wait, what can we do differently and still get the result that we're intended to get? And that's what you did. So it's not just about, you know, taking risk. It's about taking, you know, the right action as well.
Yeah. But I think part of it too, though, is that you really have to believe in that deal. You have to love and want that deal. I knew I loved that deal. I knew I wanted that deal. My partners wanted that deal. We all wanted it. We knew 100% that deal is going to be a smoking deal. We all knew it. We had to buy this thing. It had to be done. We had to do it. We were the ones who were going to get it done. And there was no. There, come hell or high water, it's going to happen. We got to take it down. We have to. And as soon as Sherwin-Williams breaks ground, by the way, Sherwin-Williams moving the headquarters right next door to us, like right next door, right?
Okay.
World headquarters right next door to us. When they break ground in November, the price of this asset goes up immediately without us doing anything. If that gives you any indication, right? So we know it's valuable. We knew it was valuable, you know? So it's just a tremendous, tremendous deal, you know? But I mean, it wasn't without a lot of scary moments. It wasn't without a lot of scary moments. But the one mistake that many people make is they just jump into the deal because for the sake of doing a deal, especially these days, you know, there's a lot of deal. It's hard finding good deals these days. Everyone's rushing into the market. you have a lot of these gurus out there with their huge training programs, pushing out all this stuff and getting people to overpay for deals. I hope they don't get into any big trouble. But the one mistake that I find many people make is that they don't actually love the deal. They settle for the deal. I won't do a deal unless I love that deal. If I don't love that deal, I'm not doing the deal. Gotta love it. If you don't love the deal, don't do the deal.
I think that's about anything with life. If you don't love what you're doing, don't do it. If you don't love your job, don't do it. If you don't love your partner, don't marry them. Right?
You know? Simple, right.
So how can I get in touch with you, Augustino? If I'm an investor, if I'm looking to invest money, who's a great connection for you and how do they get connected with you?
Absolutely. So if they go to rdyne.com, R-D-Y-N-E.com, that's the Realty Dynamics website. You can go there. There's a button in the top right. You can just submit your information. We'll add you to the list. Also, if you go to bulletproofcashflow.com, you can download some free resources, some free eBooks on how to raise money, how to talk to brokers. We have a bunch of other stuff on there too. Totally free resources for everyone. So definitely go and check that out. Yeah.
Say that first website again a little bit slower, please.
Yeah, Rdyne, R-D-Y-N-E.com.
Love it. Augustino, thank you for your time today. I appreciate you and look forward to tracking you with your great success.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Hate the feeling of missing out and not knowing where to start? Aside from grabbing a copy of The Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, we also encourage you to join our ever-growing group, the Consistent and Predictable Income Community. Apply for a membership at the Consistent and Predictable Income Community on Facebook and visit us at thecpicommunity.com online to listen to our previous superstar interviews.
Hey, I just had the best 45 minutes interviewing Dan Rochon. He's from Virginia, right outside the D.C. area. He's been in a stable market for a long time.
Within 18 months, he'd created so much success where he was actually able to buy the brokerage as a real estate agent.
Dan is a leader of vision, focus, and passion. His enthusiasm is truly infectious.
He just came out with a book for real estate agents. It's going to help people pivot. We went through and talked about how to succeed in adversity.
If you are still listening, it is because you align with the CPI community. That means that you love to learn. You are ambitious, qualified, smart, and professional. Mostly, you understand that you're in charge to design your life. If you do not want to wait until next week's show is posted, I invite you right now to visit www.thecpicommunity.com, which is the official website of the CPI community. There, you'll have access to eavesdrop on past conversations I've had with the top salespeople, business owners, and entrepreneurs. The content is free, and there's no opt-in. If you really want to hit the ground running, I encourage you to apply on the homepage of thecpicommunity.com to become CPI certified. It is a compensated service, and those that have become certified have reported back that they have more than tripled their business sales and done so in 20% less time. The CPI certification is a part of the CPI curriculum, which is the blueprint where you will learn the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks. Lastly, I invite for you to share this podcast with others who are competitive, love to learn, assertive, relationship-based, self-starters, just like you, so they can also benefit. And please leave us a rating or a review and subscribe now so that you'll be notified of the next show. Thank you again. I'll see you on the next show. To your success.
If you're a real estate agent and you're located outside of the Washington, D.C. area, and you have a client that wants to buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., Maryland area, consider to refer to me. I promise that when you do so, we'll treat them like gold, update you throughout the process, and most importantly, we'll make you look good. And we'll pay you a nice referral fee. If you're a real estate agent in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, or Washington, D.C. area, and you're seeking certainty and predictability in your business, contact me now. I'd love to be able to set up a conversation to show you how we can help you to close transactions every single month of the year. Just imagine January, February, March, April, May, every month of the year, that you have income coming into your pocket to help you and your family. Hit me up on social media or email me, Dan@greetingsvirginia.com. Love to set up a time to chat.